You're listening to Ian Stone's Comedy Breakfast, the podcast edition. I'm here on Love Sport Radio every weekday morning at 6:30. This morning, I was joined by the former Palace and Charlton midfielder, Paul Mortimer. All right, here we go. I'm going to take a breath and just go. Spurs were outstanding last night. Well, in the second half. Yeah. In the first 15 minutes, they played well. Then Ajax took over and Spurs gave away a couple of goals. First one, why is Kieran Trippier marking De Ligt? I don't really understand what
he's
doing.
Well, they mark zonally. That's the problem. So it appeared they mark zonally, and what he's supposed to do is just
block him. Nuisance.
Just be nuisance, yeah. Value, because that split second stops him from timing his jump.
He is a nuisance, but he's more of a nuisance to Tottenham at the moment.
He
picked it up in the second half.
Yeah.
And then they got the second goal when Wanyama let the guy run off him and scored. Yeah. And you thought, game over. But there is something about this Tottenham team, something about their spirit and their heart and their desire that gets them through difficult moments. They should never have got through out of the group. They lost.
Yeah, they were minutes from losing.
They lost their first three Champions League games. They were 9 minutes from going out when they were losing to, was it Eindhoven?
Yep.
PSV Eindhoven.
Someone like that, yeah.
Inter Milan bottled it against them. Mm-hmm. They turn up against Barcelona. Barcelona already through, so they drop Messi. And they end up getting a very creditable, should say, 1-1 draw in the Nou Camp. And then they're through. They beat Borussia Dortmund, at the time, the best team in Germany, at the time. They somehow beat Manchester City in the quarterfinals. And then they go and do this. I mean, is it... All right, I'm asking the question. Is it Tottenham's year this year?
It's a difficult one to answer because the night before, you'd have been saying the same thing. Yesterday morning, you're saying the same thing about Liverpool.
It's both years.
It's going to be a great... I hope it's a great final.
But Liverpool,
the way they've gone about it has been magnificent.
But Liverpool would have been expected to get through. I mean, the Liverpool-Barcelona game was, to me, a 50-50. After the 3-0 first leg, I was expecting Barcelona to get through.
Yeah, Barcelona were getting through.
But before the game, I couldn't have called it. I thought those two...
Hold on a sec. The Liverpool game...
Yeah.
I couldn't have seen Liverpool winning that.
Really?
Barca are 3-0 up.
No. Before the first leg.
Oh, before the first leg. Oh, no, you're right. Yeah,
I thought
it was
a 50-50. It was
50-50, yeah.
Whereas Spurs, I have had them down as second favourites in every knockout game they played. I had them down as second favourites against Dortmund and against Man City and against Ajax.
Yeah, no, without a doubt, yeah.
So what I'm saying is because of this, because something weird is happening in North London, I'm thinking... Even though Liverpool will go into this game as big favourites, and they will go into this big favourites, I still think the Spurs might nick it.
I think the difference is, and it sounds really weird, the difference is the similarity between the two teams. They have this fighting spirit, this never say die, not giving up spirit. Both teams showed it over the last 72 hours. Both teams have shown this spirit, this never say die thing, this thing where they just roll their sleeves up. I said it yesterday on the show. The thing about Spurs under Pochettino is just when you think they're out, you know, in the league, they pull off a result. They come back. They can come back. And it's just been, and like you say, this season has proved it time and time again. When you just think they're about to hit the buffers,
they come.
Then they have it in them. I mean, yesterday,
like a horrible disease.
It's so weird. You're terrible. The last couple of minutes,
like some sort of infection.
Behave yourself.
That won't go away.
We're sitting watching this game. In the last couple of minutes,
I've tried everything.
Shut it. And my missus, Mrs. Sharon, is going, no, they can't. My boy Michael's going, no, mum, it's Spurs. It's like that, it's Spurs. They scored, and he just stood up and looked at her and just said, it's Spurs, mum. But that's just what they've done all season.
There's a lot of aspects to all of this that I want to talk about. I mean, Glenn Hoddle was on...
Yes, I saw it on BT.
Was on BT. Yeah. I mean, they are... Do you know what? I really like... the BT coverage. I really do, right? I there were a couple of moments at Anfield when I could have done without Des being on the pitch talking to the players.
That irritates me. I don't like that.
You know what?
It takes away from their moment.
Well,
get off the pitch.
To a certain extent, I think that's true. Last night, though, I liked that he was talking to Christian Eriksen. Mm. I did like also that when he was talking to Christian Eriksen and one of the other players went, can I go now?
Yeah.
And he ran off to celebrate.
It's because it was away from home.
Yeah.
I think that's the difference. It was because it was away from home and there were a certain section of Spurs fans. Whereas at home... No, mate, don't kill my moment by coming to talk
to
me. No,
I see all that. I have enjoyed the coverage. And Glenn Hoddle was in the studio, and they're pretty funny about the fact that, you know, the other day after the Man City game, Gary Lineker said to him, "How's your heart? Is it all right?" Right? He was actually generally worried for him. And Glenn Hoddle, he was basically, you could see last night what it meant to him. And he was talking about the fact that Pochettino hasn't bought any players in the last two transfer windows and has allowed his squad to develop an unbreakable sense of unity.
Yeah, no, he's doing a fantastic job. That's easy to say that, but he is. You can tell how close he is with the players and the players, how they respect him. And you know what? You've got to say it. They haven't gone out and spent a thing. Not because there wasn't money
there.
Two
windows.
He decided that he didn't want to buy in them two windows. And so you've got to say, my word, where can it go from here? OK, we're in the Champions League final, but to buy some and add to that squad... It's a fantastic time with the new stadium. What a time to Spurs.
Yeah, first of all, he didn't decide. That's Glenn Hoddle, right, on BT Sport last night. He did not decide not to buy in the two transfer windows. He couldn't sell a couple of the other players, so Daniel Levy wouldn't give him the funds. Look, I understand they built the new stadium. They spent £1 billion on the new stadium. The last player he bought, by the way, was Lucas Moura. So he can absolutely go to Daniel Levy and go, I am quite good at buying players. I am. So give me some money and let me buy some more.
He's been saying it. I mean, the other day he spoke about the stadium and he spoke about a new house and furniture. That's the analogy he used. When you move into a new house, you need new furniture. We've moved into a new stadium. We need new players. If we want to, the stadium is taking us to another level. The team can't, he said. But they just have, Levy would say. So do you know what I mean? So sometimes the success can hamstring you a little bit because Levy will go back and go, look what you've done. In spite of it, you've got enough.
Yeah, but this is not going to happen every year.
Of course it's not.
And
of course,
and just because Spurs reach the Champions League final doesn't mean they're going to get anywhere near it next year.
No.
By the way, and by the way, currently they sit in fourth place in the Premier League, and unless they win the Champions League, they are in the qualifiers.
What you have to remember is
that's right, isn't it? By the way, that is right. They finished fourth. They're in the qualifiers.
What you have to remember, okay, is there's been some incredible sort of once in a lifetime sort of results.
Well, quite.
That's what's happened. So that's not going to happen. You're quite right. Normal service will be resumed next year.
Well, you would imagine.
You
so.
Know,
you'd imagine
in
so.
Terms of all European teams.
Love sports.
Radio. Joined now by the former singer in the band Blue, Anthony Costa, and Spurs fan. Good morning, Anthony.
Hello, mate. You all right?
Yeah, we're fine. We actually met a few years ago. We had a little chat outside the comedy store.
Yeah, I know. You're a gooner, innit? I bet you're happy, innit? You're buzzing, innit?
I'm delighted for you, Anthony, is what
I am. Yeah, you're loving it. Absolutely loving
Anthony,
it.
Anthony, listen. Go on. You say it. Go on.
Now all my Arsenal mates, innit, coming out of the woodwork going, yeah, but, you know, it shouldn't have been 94 minutes. It should have been 95. It's like, mate, listen, we won. Go, you know what I mean? Just leave us alone. Let's enjoy it.
At this point, I think we're all football fans at this point, aren't we? I don't look at all this tribal rivalry anymore.
Yeah. You know you're gonna get your Liverpool top on now, isn't it?
Liverpool top. I bet you'll never walk alone tattooed on my backside.
Mate, the amount of everyone's gonna be a scatter. That's lovely.
I know.
So funny.
I know. You can. This is a weird time for me. But I mean, for you, right? You watched this game last night. Where did you watch it, by the way?
Mate, I was on stage, mate, and I've literally just got to London now. I'm on my way to an audition, and I was in and out of flittering in and out of it, watching it on obviously basic sport on my phone. And then we went 2-0 down. I thought, here we go. This is gonna be an avalanche. Now we're gonna lose like 4-0, and it's gonna be embarrassing. And then.
This is about as far from being Spursy as it's possible to be. What has happened to your team?
The minute we went 2-0 down, I thought, here we go, that's it. And we pulled it out of the bag. And then just to think that we was going out of the Champions League in November with 1 point out of three games.
Yes.
Listen, you've got to take your hat off to Poch, man. Like, I'm buzzing. Whatever happens in the final. I will probably never see us in the final ever again, and I'm just happy to be a Spurs fan at the moment.
I've got to ask, I've asked every Spurs fan that's come on, at half-time, and with 5 minutes to go, were you still believing? Did you still think it would happen?
No, because it's just, we're always, at the last sort of couple of years, we've always been the bridesmaid, never the bride. So I thought, you know what, whatever happens, we've got to the semi-finals. Ajax probably wanted it more, and then Lucas Moura just absolutely dominated, and I was like, what is going on?
Yeah.
It was just fantastic to watch. It was fantastic to watch, and, you know, I'm buzzing to be a Spurs fan at the moment.
Of course, and Poch, your manager, I mean, you saw how tearful he was after the game and how emotional he was. We've been saying this morning, he's a fan now, isn't he? You feel like he's a Tottenham fan.
Well, it's, as you said, the emotion that he showed, crying, and it just meant so much to him because we've had the odds against us all the time. Do you know what I mean? It's always been, as I said, we've always been the bridesmaid, never the bride. We haven't signed anyone in two windows because of stadium and financial stuff. And to go to that final now with a squad that thin is just unbelievable.
Love sports.
And now we're joined by a Chelsea legend and Arsenal legend as well, former midfielder Alan Hudson. Good morning, Alan.
Morning, mate.
Morning. Thanks very much for joining us. Europa League tonight. Let's start with Chelsea. 1-1 from the first leg. Played well out there, I thought. One of the best performances they've given this season.
Yeah. I thought they did well. I was very disappointed with the other team, in all fairness. I thought they might offer more, but they didn't. Obviously, Chelsea saved their best performances for this tournament, I think. It looks as if they see this away into the Champions League, and I think they've done it quite easily.
I'll tell you what, hopefully Hazard will start this one, because I think he started on the bench in the corresponding fixture, because you want to get this out of the way sharpish, because the longer it goes one each, the more tension rises and builds. So Hazard to start, Chelsea to score early and try and put the game to bed early.
Well, I think that's been the problem with most of the problem with Chelsea this season, not knowing what the manager's going to do. Because you say that, I say that, and everybody in the ground will probably think that. And that's the obvious thing to do. And I can't see why that's not been happening in certain cases. I'm in a position now where I've never known so many disillusioned Chelsea supporters as to what team he's going to pick, which is quite worrying.
Alan, do you think it's a little odd? I mean, you're saying that, but we're of a certain age, we're the same age, and Malta is the same. We remember a time in football when if you got to a Carabao Cup final, you got to Europa League semi-final, and you finished fourth in the league, that would be considered a great season. What has happened? It's not just about Chelsea fans, this, but are fans too entitled now?
Well, no, I think I suppose there's a lot to do with that vicious circle that goes around with Manchester United were in charge for a long time, Liverpool were for years, and then Chelsea kind of took over with the John Terry and Frank Lampard and Ashley Cole, Drogba, you know, side. And it seems that they're very, very fortunate, Chelsea, that they've had Hazard, really, because God only knows what would have happened if they hadn't had him, because he's the one that's really been the spark, really, that's really kept Chelsea fans on their toes, really. Otherwise, but the main point is, you're right, that would be looked at as a pretty successful season. But it's the way they've gone about it, which is a bit concerning. In the end of the day, they've ended up... I'd say they've ended up, you know, into the top. Well, ended up coming third through default, really, because of the poor, you know, Arsenal's so poor, you know, Manchester United are so poor. I mean, who would have said 10 years ago that Arsenal and Manchester United would be that bad?
Yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah. No, I see. I mean, talking about Hazard, it all appears that he could be off to Real Madrid in the summer. Now, Chelsea have had this appeal upheld, so at the moment they're gonna be under a ban. How is that going to impact on them being able to keep players and not being able to sign anyone of note?
Well, in all fairness, I think it could be a good thing because it might sound a bit bizarre, but the players they signed have not really been that great. So And I don't think it's right what they've done anyway. They shouldn't be allowed to sign these players and just loan them out like that.
No.
It's made a mockery of the game. I mean, if I was a kid coming through now, if I was, say, in 1970 or 69, 70, when I got in the team and they had a great side, and I played 3 or 4 games with Osgood and Charlie Cook and this team and think, oh, the future's rosy, and they loan me out for 2 years, you know, you'd be devastated. It's not the right thing to do, really, you know. So kids are going to look in, they're going to go, well, what's the point of going to Chelsea? We're not going to get here.
No, you know? Quite. And now it could be a Chelsea-Arsenal final in the Europa League. I mean, obviously Arsenal, another one of your former clubs, taking on Valencia tonight. They've had a strange season as well, haven't they?
Yeah, they have. And I don't think this is... But, I mean, I said all season Chelsea would win it, and I said all season it'd be a Chelsea-Arsenal final, but I see this as a very tough fixture tonight. I think this is a really, really hard one for Arsenal. They've not been playing well late, and especially on their travels. You could rely on them, no matter how bad they were playing a few years ago. They could go anywhere in Europe and get a result, strangely enough. I don't know why. But tonight, I think they've really got a really tough job on their hands.
Yeah, I would agree. Alan, we'll let you go. Enjoy your evening. Nice to speak to you.
All right, mate. Thank you very much.
See you soon. Alan Hudson there, former Chelsea and Arsenal midfielder. In terms of Chelsea and this signing players, maybe it is a blessing in disguise. Maybe they just have to bring the youth through and see how it goes. They've got a good youth team.
Sometimes change is forced. And it appears that this is the change that is going to be forced, because they won't be allowed to spend money. So they're going to have to look at this embarrassment of riches they've got. Everyone keeps talking about how great these players are and this academy
brings.
Let's see them. Because you know what it might also do? It might encourage other clubs. If there's a success to it, it might actually encourage other clubs to just have a look.
Well, also, you know what? Ajax have led the way this
year.
I've got to say, right? And I did feel for them last night with what happened. Ajax have led the way, because you look at it and go, look at these. These are essentially 11.
Their captain's 19.
9 or 10 academy prospect. Their captain is 19. They've got to the semi-final of the Champions League. And maybe teams will go... Well, maybe we could.
Well, you know what they've
achieve.
Done? They've trusted in their kids.
Yeah.
They've bought some decent, Daily Blind and people like that, decent experience around them. But they've gone, we're going to trust you. We're going to give you an opportunity to go and play. We're going to back the years of judgment that we've had over you, keeping you in the club and nurturing you. Because that's what happens. You look at Chelsea, they keep these players, nurture them only when it matters to say, we don't trust you. Because that's basically what they're saying. We don't trust you. So... go out and loan half a dozen times, and 5 years later, we still don't trust you.
Yeah,
that's what they're saying.
If you're any good, we might sell you on for a higher amount of money. By the way, I've had a few messages on Twitter from people saying, please stop playing Glory Tottenham Hotspur, because I might just have to switch off. I mean, I'm sure we are picking up other listeners who obviously are just thinking, oh, brilliant, we can celebrate it. But I'm just saying there are swings and roundabouts with this sort of policy. Anyway.
Love sport.
We're talking about the fact that Spurs and Liverpool over the last two nights have provided us with some of the greatest entertainment we've seen in football for the last 20 years. I would suggest 2 comebacks of monumental proportions.
Yeah.
And the fact that you go the miracle of Anfield and then you go, oh, hang on, there's another one. We've been watching football a long time. You were playing football a long time. Have you ever known a week like this?
No, I've not known a week like this. I mean, if you look at Vincent Kompany on Monday, it's literally because no one would see that coming from him. In fact, his own teammates were saying, don't shoot. You saw that clip
of Aguero going, who'd never spoken English before in his life.
Exactly. Don't shoot. And then you think, wow. Then the next evening... you know, there's something, because we're all going into it thinking there is absolutely no way. Liverpool score. I remember saying Liverpool score. They ain't beating Barcelona because Barcelona will score. No, they beat them. And they beat them 4-0 with the best player in the world has ever seen on the pitch. Magnificent. And then the emotions after, the outpouring of emotion, you just think it's not going to get any better than that. Then last night, absolutely incredible.
And talking about pouring of emotion, Pochettino was interviewed after the game.
I seen everyone deserve from the first to the last one in this club, with all the tough moment that we are living in the 5 years when we arrive here, to have the chances to play a finalist. It's amazing. I want to remember my family. It's for them too, for the people that support us in that moment. It's amazing to reward them. And thank you, and we need to be ready now for the next game Sunday and then to prepare the final in Madrid.
I mean, I haven't heard somebody crying like that since Gwyneth Paltrow got an Oscar, I think, and she just lost it on stage, didn't she? Yeah, it was. This is what this game can do to you. You know, he is obviously very emotionally invested in Spurs, and he must have found it frustrating this year.
Yeah, of course.
All those games that they lost, that they went out of the FA Cup and the League Cup in 4 days earlier in the season,
right.
And they went out of those competitions because they didn't have a big
That's
enough
exactly
squad.
Right.
But if they would have had a bigger squad, they couldn't have done any more in the Champions League.
Yeah.
They couldn't have done any better. They are in the final. And maybe a bigger squad upsets the apple cart a little bit. Maybe.
Well, all that adversity, you know, and being able to come back culminates in this.
But really they does. Won't be able to do it again.
No, they can't.
The great teams repeat this stuff.
Yeah.
They go on. Man United won the league and then they win it again.
Yeah.
City look like they might actually retain the Premier League
which
title, which has not been done for a while. And that is what you get from having one or two big players who come in and put pressure on the
every
rest.
Every year. Spurs haven't had it, which is why this is a window of opportunity for them. Because
they have to exploit this.
The top teams, the window stays open. Theirs, the window will close after this because they don't have the.
But they've
the
got, you know what? As he said, they built a house, now they have to put the furniture in. Patrick Christie's has come in with some other stories, I believe, Patrick.
Who's the richest person you know, Ian? Hello.
The richest person I know?
Yeah.
No, as in really good friends or just know quite
just
well?
Just you'd nod at them in the street as they walk past.
Oh, no. I've got mates who are more than that. I know Michael McIntyre.
Right.
He's got loads of money.
But
he was at the game last night. He is very, very well.
He's not struggling.
No, he's not.
Yeah,
he's doing okay.
Shops at Waitrose, I imagine.
So do I. I mean, you don't have to
really?
Be that. Yeah.
Gosh,
but I mean,
you're
I'm
all right, aren't you?
I just like bread that costs £7. It's very important to me. I like buying those little jars of pate, right?
Yeah.
They're about £4.50 that you put at the back of the fridge. And then about a year later, you go, what's that green stuff at the back of the fridge? I'm sure that's not right.
Right, so there is a loose reason as to why I've asked you who your richest mates are. Ed Sheeran, right, has climbed the charts as his wealth has doubled to £160 million in the past year. But they've just published the list of the top 10 richest musicians in the UK. Can you guess who any of them are?
Jimmy Page.
Jimmy Page is not on the list.
No, come on.
You've got to have all the old folk, haven't you?
Robbie Williams.
Are they with the old folk?
John and,
Mick
and
Jagger,
Paul McCartney.
Mick Jagger, Paul McCartney.
All of the Rolling Stones, all of them.
Yeah, all of them.
Particularly Jagger and
Jagger
Keith Richards.
Yeah,
Robbie Williams.
Robbie Williams is not on there. No, Robbie Williams isn't
so
in the top 10.
Elton John, Phil Collins.
Phil Collins, he doesn't live here now. He lives in a tax exile.
It's hard to gauge how much Phil Collins is worth, actually.
His earnings last year were £14.50. He's like a cab
driver. It's all of them old money. It's all of them.
Adele,
maybe.
Adele's not in it. Now, that is a surprise, actually.
Come on, that's wrong. Adele's minted.
Yeah, she's got to be caked.
Lloyd Webber, Andrew Lloyd Webber's worth £820 million.
Musicians?
Oh. Yeah.
I'm sorry, he's a composer, but all right.
Look, mate, I don't make the rules.
Okay.
All right? I don't make the rules.
All right.
Paul McCartney, U2. £583 million.
They're touring still.
U2, I hate him.
Is this Britain? Why do you hate them?
Because, right, I've never asked for Bono to keep popping up on my iPhone all the time.
Why does he pop up on your iPhone?
They add on Apple iPhones, they automatically download a U2 album. And not even a good U2 album either. It sounds like screaming.
A U2 in the past, not U2. U2 now, because their voices have gone.
I love U2.
In the past, they could do it.
You know what? I went to see U2. I saw U2 in 1979 at the Marquee.
Supporting
a band called The Photos, who had a very sexy woman called Wendy Wu as the lead singer, and the support band were U2, and they were playing stuff from the first album, from Boy, and I loved them then. I've seen them about 8-10 times. I think they're great. And Bono,
do you not think he should have grown out of The Edge? Do you know what I mean?
No, that's who you are.
It's like I had a mate at school who just crowbarred in his middle name as Danger. It doesn't make him dangerous. Oh, hey, who are you? I'm
it's
The
like
Edge.
David Kid Jensen. Do you remember David
Kid
Jensen?
Yeah, the kid
who
no
was
more.
Kid Jensen when he was 65, right? And that's obviously a little bit weird. I know what you're saying. It's not that edgy. He was never that edgy. He was just
no,
The Edge.
Was, yeah.
It was just, I know what you said, but Bono is can be a bit annoying, but they have written some tunes.
Yeah, they have.
Haven't they?
Fair play.
Yes, they have.
Fair play.
Yeah.
Ringo Starr, obviously. Michael Flatley, it's worth 204 million quid, apparently.
Into dancing, yep.
Yeah, I was never that into that, but it did very well, didn't it?
You know, I thought maybe you would have you'd been a keen river dancer.
Is that what you thought? Okay, fair enough. Who else?
Sting, 200 million. He rounds off the list in 10th place. Sting.
Another band
See,
I saw quite a few.
Folk are still...
Sting's done very well. Yeah. I saw the Police quite a few times in the